Yeah. You're still here. Okay. What? I know she was back. We've already reacquainted ourselves. Okay. So we're going to talk today about Harsha a little bit, right? Okay. So let's start again with the Mishnah and the Gemara. Let's see what we did. Good. So we spent a little time with Knossos, and again we'll start again with Harsha with Knossos, right? Like a transition. Is Moshe back there? I don't see him.
Yeah.
Where is he? Is he back there? Oh, there he is. Okay. Yeah. So maybe we'll have you, even though we're, this is, it's not a grid, but we're going to start with this. Okay. So go ahead. Let's read through the Mishnah quickly again. On Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, that's where we are. There you are. Okay, so these are two different cases, right? One of which is exclusively. Yeah, go ahead. First, the two different cases. What differentiates them? The first one is simply it's not a tvias mamon, and then the second one is like a double problem, right? It's not tvias mamon and. Yeah, and it's not mipia tove. Okay, good. So keep going. Yeah, so the last cases are cases of Kablai Bidraba Mine, which we already discussed, right? The difference between, Rav Nachmani Ben Hakana and so on, and I already made the point that while it is explicit in the Mishnah, right there, at least this, in terms of the boundaries of Korban Shavuos Eidos, there's something to talk about here. Right, because if there's a kiyum lotzei sedei shamayim, and if there's if tafas al mafkinan, right, so there is some mamon elements, perhaps. So either we should conclude that there really, really aren't, and that would seem like mamon elements are really just monetary expressions of a kind of hilchos deos type of din, right? Or if there really are monetary elements, which there's a lot of evidence for. Then again, in terms of building up, data, in terms of what that threshold actually is, Dover Garland Mamon, right? Some of the other issues that we've been discussing, Misachik B'Kuvya according to the Rajba, like where do you draw the line in all these things? So that would become very important because, especially if you take the view that Dover Garland Mamon. Is kamamon, and therefore it echad, let's say, bishvua, or, mesachik b'kuvya, according to the second day of the Rajba, right, on Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, according to the first day of the Rajba, on Lamed Aleph, according to either day of the Rajba, let's go back to explain Rav Papa, either midin tafas lo mafkinan, or midin davar agorin l'mamon, would be sufficient. It doesn't. Either way, it sounds like you have to do something with this Mishnah. So, would you assume that just like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, disagrees with the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, right? So too, what's written in this Mishnah is Lav Dafka, and therefore, according to the Manda Amar, let's say Rav Papa, according to the Rajba or some of those other shitas that we were just talking about, Hu Adin that Kam Lebidraba Minei. According to those who think that there is tfisa, would work. Or since we don't have anybody saying that, the case of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and the Gemara on Lamed Beis, they have the Gemara saying it. So the Gemara says, that there's a man d'amar who disagrees with the explicit Mishnah. Otherwise, let's assume that that isn't the case. So if it's everybody hakol modim, that when it comes to kamle midraba mine, that there is no din of karban shvuas ha'edos, even though structurally, right, objective factors are the same, namely there's a chiyuv latzei sidei shamayim, or there's some sort of tafas, lo mafkina minei, so that would end up demonstrating, something very important. Number one, that you can have, two things that we already know, but there would be good examples of them. You can have the same structures, same details, same factors, and they can mean different things. Because latzei sidei shamayim can be, either an ethical requirement or a legal requirement that is not, enforceable in Beis Din, but is really a chiyuv bamo. And so on and so forth. And same is true with regard to tzvisa. I mean, if he takes it, we won't, grab it back from him. Or no, tzvisa works because really the guy owes him, and it's the fact that Beis Din doesn't implement that is the chiddush. So you can have the same consequences, right? But that conceptually, they can be for different reasons, and that conceptual difference, not the factors themselves, because again, the probability, it doesn't grow. Just like if you hold a Karimi Gashas or frozen Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, Ibn Kiyasan Mamona Gaza, there's no tangible nafkamina between, saying Edechad Kiyasa Lishvua or the Mamona Gaza. It's purely conceptual. Here too, there's no percentage differences. It's all just how you look at the factors. So, same thing we had with regard to Knossos, right? Where we eliminate the factor of the different views as to, whether Modo Miftar, yes, or when Modo Miftar is out of the picture, it can only be a characterizing factor. So, what I'm trying to say is that if we assume that the Kamle Bedraba Mine, is Muskam Makol, and then we contrast it with some, other shitos, basically, where you have the same factors and it's not muskam, that there are shitas of thayyid, the karm, the chukkiyuv, shuas edos, then that is very important and significant, both for karm, shuas edos, as well as for these different examples, which turn out to be conceptually different, of lotzei shamayim and tfisa mahani and so on. But that isn't our topic right now. The middle case, or the one case that's kind of ambiguous in the Mishnah, Moshe is, which case? The sh'anas ish bito sh'anas ish ploni es bito pita es bito. Correct? Okay, that's a bit of a controversial case. How so? Well, that if you take a certain view, before we get to that, simply, what is the case talking about, right? So there are two deos here in Rashi, correct? You're assuming that it's like a kabbalah midraba mina case. You're saying who would get paid if you're assuming that the case is that the father was ma'ane says bito, correct? And then the question is, well, even if it wasn't Kamle Bedraba Minei, he's the one who gets the Dinei Aknas, so, how would that ever, just Lamaisa, what would that be? Right? And that is a very good question. That's why Rashi doesn't like it so much. And in other words, Rishonim say, oh, we're talking about Yesoma B'chai Yaviya, he died in the interim, right? And so on. Correct? But before that, Rashi, because he doesn't like that pshat, read the Rashi very quickly. Go ahead. Right, I mean, Rashi is addressing the literary question, which is there's a case in the Mishnah. We understand the other cases, we understand what they are. This is the only case that's a little bit, there's ambiguity in simply the facts, like what, there's something missing, right? There's a vav missing, or a yud missing, or something missing to make clear, who everybody is in this case. So Rashi says, Onas Ruvein Bito Shel Shimon, Bito Diktani, Aish ploni del el koi, Aish ploni koin, meaning some third party, correct? And he knows it's not so obvious, but we also know that there's something missing. Go ahead. The tanel el mina, she ish ploni koin. Right, it means us explaining how to read the Mishnah, which Rashi does, better than anybody, right? Okay, so why is it Patur? Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Then Rashi, we're going to get back. That's the point I really wanted to start with. That's what I said about the transition between the two. It's really a harsha problem. But before we get to that, Rashi has a second pshat, which you were referring to before. Right? That's in the middle of Dibra Maskel v'shachav al-bichaveri. Go ahead, v'yeshm farshim. He said that's the Masorah that we had, that's the pshat. So the Rishonim, other Rishonim give answers to this question. Hechatimtzi is about how this isn't such a terrible thing, this isn't the end of the world. Okay. But the problem is, so let's go back to the first pshat, the preferred pshat of Rashi, Moshe, which is again, though we're talking about a problem of Mipia Toveya. So the question is, if we're dealing with a problem of Mipia Toveya, why is this case any different than the other parts of Mipia Toveya that the Gemara is going to elaborate, right? What's the added value to this case? So Rashi came up with something, namely, something obvious, something innovative, worth talking about. Obviously, I'm spending 5-6 minutes on it, so I think it's worth talking about. Though we're talking about implicit already in the Mishnah is Baba Harsha, and there's a case of Baba Harsha that doesn't work. And why doesn't it work? His own language. Why doesn't it work? If it's Bob Arshah, it should work. I mean, we'll see in the Gemara in a minute. But because what? Okay, so is that obvious? Is that Mechudash? Is that a Gemara? Is that a Rashi? I mean, what do you think about that? So Rashi came up with because he interprets the case this way, right? He's then forced to explain what the added value is this case. We're going to, in a minute, where the Gemara is going to elaborate the problem of Baba Harsha. So Rashi came up with a new doctrine, seemingly. Well, we'll see in a minute if it's a new doctrine. The new doctrine is you cannot write a Harsha about something, right, which you never had jurisdiction over, you never had control over. You can have a Harsha about something which was previously in your domain, and not about some Chiyuv, which me'olam lo higia liyadcha. So that's a statement. Is it compelling? Is it agreed upon? Why should it be so? We're not talking about Knas here, remember. Right? Because we just established it doesn't apply to Knas based on the Gemara before, pretty much, or whatever. Let's say we're talking about the Bosha Supagam part of Ones and Mefata. Right? Let's assume. Or Knas Lachar Gmardin, if that works. Debatable, as we know. Okay. Right? So is this obvious? What do you think? Obvious or not obvious? What? It's definitely not. Doesn't say it anywhere. Rashi knows it doesn't say it. He's interpreting. It's basically, we have this case. It's hard to read. I don't like the standard pshat, so I think there's this pshat. Right? If there's this pshat, we have another problem. What's its added value? Right? The answer is because probably we already are anticipating Baba Harsha, but it's a Baba Harsha that doesn't work. That's how this came about. It all came about from a literary reading of the Mishnah, a better reading of the Mishnah. Again, that's how things happen, right? So that pushed Rashi into a doctrine that Harsha doesn't work. B'davar shelo mata liyadei. What is the Rajba Alatar? Right, quotes this Rashi. It's interesting. Of all people, I would have thought maybe that the Rajba would be most sympathetic. Explain why, but so Rashi, he quotes this Rashi, Kosov Rashi, etc. Adkan b'din zeh shemanu midvarav shelo shemanuhu b'shemakom. Okay, that's a statement. Right? Rashi came up with something that, you know, no one ever heard of before, or that doesn't have a clear makar, except this is the makar for him. The Me'iri Alatar, you know, it's for the Rajba, it's a statement. Maybe because the Rajba is more open to it, I'll, you know, I only half go back on what I said before. He doesn't embrace it, right? He does characterize it as something which is mechudash, right? But he also doesn't dismiss it. The Me'iri, I know I have it here somewhere, calls it Divrei Nevius, right? Here. Quotes Rashi. One second. Lemedim mikan she'in arshamo elas b'meshel abaliyad hatoveh me'olam ve'ein elu ela divrei nevius. Okay, that's harsh. Okay, so what is this, Ray? What is this question? Why is this question significant? I mean, it's interesting. We're learning arsha for a couple of days. I will try not to go, you know, to spend too much time, but. So it's an interesting objective question itself, the limits of Harsha. Right? Harsha can't apply to something that's lo me'olam lo baliya, no. But it's more than that, meaning why, the question is, you know, why wouldn't it or shouldn't it? Right? The more, I guess, ambitious Harsha is, the more Harsha needs to accomplish, we'll say that, you know, the easier it might be to explain why it will not apply to something which is me'olam lo mataliyade. Right? We don't have such a rule in, put it this way, we don't have such an obvious rule regarding shlichus. Let's take the two poles for the moment. What will be the two poles of Harsha? We already mentioned it. Eitan? Shlichus on one side and? Zechiah or Hakna on the other, 100%. So in the world of shlichos, do we have such a din that you can't be memanah somebody's shliach on something which is me'olam lo mataliyade, if it's something that you have that you're entitled to? I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a davar shelo baliolam, you know, that you don't deserve. I'm talking about a tviya that you do deserve. Right? I can take it to court. It's an actionable thing in court. The whole point is that this is actionable in court. Right, the bochus and the pagam and the, you know, maybe even the knas on some level. So if I could take it to court, I can't appoint the shliach on it. And what about hakna? Same thing. Right, in an amak the davar shelo baliolam. If I'm a knas, maybe, but you know, mamon, right? Not so clear. Probably less likely that you could be makna than. You know, presumably the ability to be makna something requires a higher threshold of previous bailus, let's say, or control, bailus and reshus, we'll call it, than, you know, than simply to make a shliach about it, you know, just to make you an agent to work for me. So typical shlichus is no such din. Hakna, mostly there's no such din, right? But at least in the world of Hakna, there's something, you know, more. That's why I said the Rajba, because we'll soon see that the Rajba is the strongest advocate of the view that Harsha is straight, pretty straight Hakna. So, you know, he's kind of more, that's an interesting Rashi, which is different than saying, you know, that's a Rashi that's Tamua, which is what the Me'iri says. Okay, so this is one already something that we confront. You know, can you be a marsha on something which is lo mataliyade? Again, lo mataliyade here is something which is yotzei, regarding something though that is yotzei b'dayane, even though it's lo mati liyade. Lo mati liyade is historically true. Yeah.
But it's before the dayane passing by, right?
Okay, right.
So
that's a good question. Good question. I'm not 100% sure. I would say for the moment, in Chabo El Chidusho, that, you know, just like Knas, let's say, Lachar, Gemardin, becomes something which in most cases, you know, again, a couple of lines, and it depends on how you paskin, or maybe Shvuas Abikado on the side, you know, in an Amar Shvuah Labanav and Ksuvas Mendes aside, but usually, you know, based on the, you know, the Gemara in Makos and other places, usually we say about a Knas, Lachar, Amad Abedin, Lachar, Gemar Din, that we then treat it like, you know, regular Kilu Gavuy Dami. So in the sense that, you know, and we, the Rishonim have Lashonos like that. We decided again, and we were talking about Shvias and the Rambam's explanation why there's no Shvitas Ksafim, you know, when there is Gemar Din. So to the extent that it's, you know, more concrete and maybe even Kigabui, I think it's likely that Rashi would say at that point that it's subject to Harsha. That's considered Matali Yadhei, I would say. But I'm not 100% sure. I would assume that. What would you assume? Yeah, okay. I agree. So, but again, it's still pretty mechudash that he can't, you know, be gove, or that I can't take him my morsha just because something is low mataliyada. Okay, so that's an important limitation in Harsha. Now let's talk about Harsha more generally. So let's read the Gemara. That's just like an interesting introduction based on the reading of the Mishnah. Yeah, go ahead. Tamadish Ploni. Yeah. So here's what the Gemara says, that the requirement of Ad Shishim Pia Toveya requires Harsha. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's the Shaka Vitaria here. So just to take a step back for the moment, just look at the language, or just if you could just read into the record, the Mishnah on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, right, which is closely connected, right? Moshe, Shalach Biad. Right, that's where the Mishnah uses the language of Ad Sheyishmu Pia Toveya. But what's interesting is that there, again, you know, you have to be, you know, in the Chabalah Chidusho, kind of a more minimalist, you know, legal reading. And that is, so the Mishnah here is excluding, right, excluding what? Two cases. No? What are the two? Yeah, so the nitva cannot be the source of the shuasa edus. That seems very reasonable, right? He's on the other side of the aisle here, right? What's less obvious is that shalach biad avdo, right? He sends his eved, you know, to ask you to come to court. That doesn't work, right? Does that prove that all shliach is excluded? No. Why? Good. Very possibly, Eved doesn't is not you know, subject to shlichus, and maybe that's the point, right? Maybe the havamina is actually more, you know, interesting. Namely, if I send somebody on my, you know, behalf, he's still, you know, operating. So technically, maybe he's not a shliach, but he, you know, is doing my bidding, the bidding of the Toveya. Would that be enough? No. You need Achishma Pia Toveya. That excludes a nitva and excludes Shalach. It also excludes Shalach Biad Avda. Okay. Some have the Girsa Shalach Biad Avdo and Shalach Biad Shlucho. If you have that, then one second. First of all, the Gemara's explanation, how do you know that you need me Pia Toveya? We've had it before. Torah Baruch Shalach Pia Avdo, Sh'omel Ha'ma Nitva, right? Lo Lo Yagid. I mean, that's the it says Lamed Vav Aleph. Right, Lo Lo Yagid. he has to basically refuse him v'nasa avono. Right? V'im la'acher lo yagid pater. Okay, good. So for the Mishnah, you could have said that all you need is a toveya. I'm sorry, the only one who works is the actual toveya, that nobody else can trigger a korban shvuas eidos. Right? Or you could think that a regular shliach, you know, would be fine, and it's only shalach bi'aravdo or a nitva that is a problem. Either way, the Gemara here, our Gemara on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, right, seems to require a Mursha, right? Ad shizur pia toveya, b'ba b'harsha. Okay, so what we need to figure out is what about a regular shliach, right? And, you know, what is it about Mursha that works? Okay, so that's the background. The parallel sugya, the main sugya of Harsha, this is maybe the second important sugya, certainly in the Rishonim, is where? You have it there? Okay, just let's get that one in on the record. So the topic here for Harsha, for the requirement of Harsha, is the requirement of the Pia Toveya. Again, that, objectively speaking, just so we take a step back for a second, right, the Pia Toveya. So does that seem like something very, very substantial or not? How substantial is the requirement of Mipia Toveya? Ilan, what do you think? I'm saying in our Gemara, I'm trying to show a few things. Number one, that the objective evidence still, you know, leaves, you know, quite a bit of room, you know, for cases which are ambiguous, right? As we know, a nitva is not Mipia Toveya. We know that Shalach Biadavno, Yabian Abdo is not Mipia Toveya. Right? Now we know from our Gemara that a Mursha is considered to be Mipia Toveya. The Gemara doesn't say a regular Shliach. It sounds like a regular Shliach. Probably not. Otherwise, let's say the first thing that comes to mind isn't a Mursha, right? It's a Shliach. And okay, there are some Girsa questions also. Is it Shalach Biad, you know, Abdo Ubiad Shlucho, or just, you know, Shalach Biad Abdo? Okay. So there is that question. Then we also have this Rashi, you know, with the Rajba and the Meiri question, and that is, you know, are there limits in Mipia Toveya for a Mursha, Bidavar Shalo Shadayin Lomata Liyade? That's the second point, correct? Okay. But the requirement of Harsha for Mipi HaToveya is something that is clearly established in our Gemara. In a minute, we're going to read the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Moshe, which talks about what topic? What's the topic there? What? Okay, I mean, that's the Gemara mentions here. The Gemara here is quoting the Gemara there, basically, yeah. Right? Orchis of Entalta for what purpose? Shvuas Eidos.
To be able to be
I mean, okay, but I mean, not really to be Makma. The Maktish part is very critical. That's how the Gemara introduces it. That's what it's doing in Meruba, and that's the context, and that's an important parallel that we need to examine. What's the issue of Harsha in that case? What's that case talking? Here, the case is a case of Shuas Eidos. There's a requirement in Shuas Eidos of Mipia Toveya. It seems like, put it this way, you definitely can't fulfill that requirement with a nitva or with a shalach biyad avdo. It seems like you can't accomplish it with a shliach either. You need a mursha. That's our Gemara. It's a Shuas Eidos requirement of Mipia Toveya. I just want to make a point for it in a minute. But, yeah. Okay. Then there's another Gemara, the main Gemara. The main Gemara is in Bava Kamma. That Gemara is talking about Shuas Eidos and the requirement of Mipia Toveya. I just want to know the subject matter. If you're the Rambam, where would you put it? Where would you put this halacha? Are you? The halacha here, where would you put it if you're the Rambam?
In Ochel Shavuos,
which is where he puts it, right? I mean, because it's a there's a requirement of Shavuos. There's a very specific requirement, you know, of Shavuos Eidos that it be Mipi HaToveya, right? And that requirement, says the Gemara, seemingly requires a Morsha. It definitely excludes some people, and it definitely applies to a Morsha, even though Rashi is saying, yeah, but not all Morshas. Correct? It belongs in Ochel Shavuos Eidos. By the way, does this requirement also... and this din apply to Chiyuv Agada? We don't know. I mean, we know that according to the Rambam, you require Mipi HaToveya in Chiyuv Agada, right? That's Perek Aleph Hilchos Eidos, right? In Dini Mamonos, not in Isurin. To the same extent that whoever is excluded from Mipi HaToveya, right, and Shavuos Eidos is also excluded from Mipi HaToveya and Chovos Agada? Do we know? Have we ever discussed that question? I mean, we alluded to the question. What?
From the same pasuk, so you might expect
that. Well, if it really is from the same pasuk or from the same source, if it's the same din, then that's very reasonable. Right. It could just be, again, if you remember, the Kesef Mishnah in Chovos Eidos, you know, says, like, where did the Rambam get this halacha from? And then there's all sorts of speculation whether it's exactly the same halacha or it's a parallel halacha, right? So, if it's exactly the same halacha, if the Chiyuv Chovos Haggadah comes from the same pasuk, and im lo yagid, lamed vav aleph, im lo yagid, right, then for sure. And even if it's not from the same pasuk, you know, maybe it's, you know, it's a parallel or exactly the same din, learned from the same source, then it's reasonable to think that the Chiyuv Agada, generally, but in theory, could it still be mechalik, maybe between Karban Shavuos, imposing a Shavuos, especially with Piacherim, and the Karban aspect of it, and just the Chovos Agada? So the Michas Chinuch, if you recall, was mistapek about this, right? Whether the requirement of Mipi HaToveya and Chiyuv Agada is exactly the same as the Mipi HaToveya of Korban Shavuos Eidos. So we'll leave it at that for the moment. But the point is that is the discussion and that's where it belongs. Where does Bava Kamma Daf Ayin Omed Aleph belong? Gersh David. The Bava Kamma Ayin Omed Aleph, which is the main Sug of Harsha, where we put that in the Rambam? Where should the Rambam put that? In Ochel Shavuos? In Ochel Shavuos? So far what we're saying is, our Gemara belongs in Hilchos Shavuos, and the Rambam puts it there.
Right.
Although we'll see what he says about it.
Right?
It's given his shita in Hilchos Eidos,
right.
It's interesting that he doesn't mention it in Hilchos Eidos. I mean, this question, do you need a Morsha, Shliyancha, or whatever, might be L'shitasa in other respect. But okay, basically, our halacha is Shavuos halacha. Where would you put Bava Kamma Ayin Omed Aleph? Okay, meaning he would put it somewhere in Sefer Kinyan.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It doesn't belong in Ochel Shavuos Eidos. Right. And what, roughly speaking, is it about? Or what problem is it overcoming? There's no din of Mipi HaToveya. It's not a Korban and it's not a Chiyuv Agada. So what is it? I'm not thinking anything esoteric. I'm just trying to make a simple point. You're 100% right. It either below it goes to Ochel Shluchin, or maybe something, you know, else like that.
Right.
He happens to speak about it in Shluchin, right? Shluchin the Shutfin, by the way.
Right.
Maybe it belongs there no matter what. But okay, good. But in what context? What's the issue there? Just based on the Gemara, we'll see in a minute.
Right.
But
the issue is that when someone comes to a court case, you know, the other valid to the state of
exactly. There, the problem is not the requirement of Mipi HaToveya, but the ability of the nitva, right, to respond, or the whatever he is, right, to respond and say la baldvarim didiat, la baldvarim didiat is not Mipi HaToveya. Right, labal dorn didiat means I don't recognize you. as I don't believe you that you're the shliach of the Baal Davar, but I don't legally want to deal with you. And apparently I don't have to deal with you. Question is why? I mean, we need to understand what La Baal Davar Midiyat is about a little bit too. I'm not going to spend so much time on this, but the question I'm asking is, so there are three now applications, two, according to the Gemara, there are two applications of the requirement of Parsha. One is La Baal Davar Midiyat in Hilchos Dias Mamon, right? And the other is Korban Shvuas Eidos, right? And according to the Rambam, possibly a third, but we're just not 100% sure, namely Chovas Haggadah. Okay, so all I'm trying to say is that whenever we, you know, if we're trying to assess what Harsha brings to the table, let's say value added, you know, beyond a more elemental, elementary, ubiquitous, you know, representation known as shliach, right? So one of the things we need to array, again, we may not be able to pin it down so well, but one of the things we certainly want to raise in assessing what Harsha adds to the mix is, you know, what the factor that it, you know, neutralizes, if you will, or accomplishes, you know, what is that factor and what is its significance?
Why
Where? In Bava Kamma?
Yeah.
You can't ask a question like that. Why can't you ask a question like that?
No.
Did you look at the Ishaq of Atari, the Sugya there? I should ask you that question. What? I mean, you see the Gemara. But you should see it in advance. You can't say, like, you know, you can't ask a question like that. I'm supposed to be saying to you, what is the Gemara I'm going to ask you in a second? You know? But before we get to that let me just finish my first point. So I mentioned the other day. So this is what I'm trying to explain. The more mipia toveya in Korban Shavuos Eidos is an important or critical factor, right? And the more the claim of la baal davar midiyat isn't just an extraneous kind of an excuse. Right, but it's something, you know, that goes to like the nature of, you know, the rights of Gvia, the rights of the parties, and so on. The more likely it is that we're going to say that the solution, namely Harsha, which somehow is able to overcome La Baal Davar Midiyat and is able to accomplish, let's say, Mipia Toveya, is a significant category. Right? If I think that Mipia Toveya, let me say it this way, in Chovas Haggadah in Korban Shavuos Eidos, is Mipia Toveya Mechayev or a Tanai? Let me just arbitrarily formulate it that way. So we already mentioned, and I mentioned it again on Tuesday, right, that there's an interesting question, for example, you know, whether Mipia Toveya is a requirement of chiyuv korban shvuas eidos or chalos and shame korban shvuas eidos, right? Right. That isn't just, you know, sophisticated terminology, right? That's a real debate or a real issue in the Rishonim, right? L'may nafka mina, for those people who think, you know, that the difference between part of the, you know, shame as opposed to the conditions for chiyuv, you know, will dictate whether or not the shvuas ha'edos status, right, precludes a shvuas bitu. Correct? In the same way of behu eid, in the same way of chutz lebezdin, what about a situation of korban shvuas eidos without it? Mipia toveya, are you chai and you lie? Is there a shvuas bitui for that? It's very simple, straightforward, nafkamina. According to the Rishonim, and there's a very, very significant core group of them, right? The Ramban and the Rajba and so on and so forth, who are of the opinion that there are two levels, that there's a shame shvuas eidos and there's a chiyuv shvuas ha'edus, and that this is the napka mina. So what about mipia toveya? Right? We could have said, well, mipia toveya is imlo lo yagid. You got it. That's one of the conditions for chiyuv. But what, it's not considered a shvuas ha'edus? Aren't you an aid, and didn't you lie about your knowledge? Right? So that might be a way of a little bit, at least, of assessing, right, how important, how significant the requirement of a piyat tovea is. Again, the more, you know, part of the mechayev it is, maybe, I'm not saying mukhra, but maybe you need, maybe harsha as opposed to shlichus becomes a very significant factor. If it's more of a technicality, maybe less so. Similarly, and that's why it's interesting to compare the two. If I didn't know these two Gemaras and that Harsha is quoted in both contexts, it wouldn't have been so obvious to me that he would be the same. You know, that what solves the Mipia Tovea problem also solves the La Baldorim Didiat problem. That both of them, you know, have an issue with Shlichus and both of them require, right, but are accomplished by Harsha. We're reconstructing backwards. By the Gemara here, quoting the Gemara there, by these being the two main, you know, applications of value-added harsha, right? You know, we're being told something about harsha, and we're being told something about these cases. So apparently, for example, when I say labal dorm didiyat, one could have thought, maybe it's still true, that it's a narrower problem. I don't want to give you this object, because I don't want tainas from this guy, and let's say something happens, you know, on the road, and you know it's not fully bonded or insured or whatever it is. So I need somebody with greater, you know, credentials, more credentials, you know, for pragmatic reasons. Right? That still might end up being something substantial, and that's how some Rishonim formulate it. Or is it something more basic than that? Labal Dram Didiyat is a nitva's right, even without tainas, to say, I want to deal with the baldavar. You know, if I'm handing over money, I'm handing over money to the baldavar. If he chooses to hand over to shliach, he can do it. But he has the right to say, you know what? I want to only deal with the bayit. In which case, the harsha clearly is something that is substantive. It's not just like, oh, a guarantee, an added extraneous tanai, you know, that, you know, if something happens, baderech, that it's insured, it's going to be something about the level of either representation of the bailim or change of bailus. Right? One or the other. And once that's the case, then you wonder whether mipia toveya is it something like that too. In other words, not enough that it come from the toveya. The toveya is really the mechayev. So you need something which, you know, either creates a new toveya, so that he is the toveya and he's doing it personally, or that ramps up, right, the level of representation, so it's a little more, he's a more independent but, you know, formidable representative. So we have basically, you know, mipia toveya. We have, by extension, maybe chovas hagada, right? If it's the same, I'm not sure it's the same. I don't know whether you need Dafka, a Mursha, you know, in Mipia Tobeya, that's a question. And we have the din of La Baldorim Didiyat, and don't forget, we also may have the din of Velomipi, the equivalent of Velomipi Amiturgaman. Right? Now, as if the only person who can represent, you know, the Baldavar in court is somebody with a Mursha, is somebody who's a Mursha, right, that's also a madrega. Yeah.
Just from a super humor, we're not necessarily committed that all that harsha solves is blood bonds or idea. On our days, we're not saying the lashon of field and state.
Not here. We're not.
It's the lashon is all done this way minimally.
If I guess it depends if you think that isn't core to harsha.
Right. I mean, we do say, like, Nerlei Lashon is the orchestra of the Lok Sid, right? It sounds like you can have an orchestra without that Lashon.
I mean, but the Gemara does. So let's read the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Again, Moshe was going to read for us? Yeah, before we get to the Gemara in Bava Kamma, so let's talk about the context. Pinchas was going to fill us in. on what this has to do with Hekdesh, right? You know or not? Pinchas. So basically the background of the Gemara here, the background of the Gemara is two dafim, which I didn't have you read. Right? Save it for next year. You know, starting from the bottom of Samaches Amud Aleph, you have to go Samaches Amud Beis, Samaches Amud Aleph, Samaches Amud Beis, till Ayin Amud Aleph. It's very fascinating sugya. What's it the topic of? Anybody know? I know we establish aren't so many Bava Kamma people, any Bava Metzia, but we do have some Bava Metzia people, modest ones. All right? So what's the topic? Rabbi Yochanan. Who said Rabbi Yochanan? There you go. Yeah, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Gezer v'lo nesiyasho abaylin. Right? Zeh v'zeh einam yecholim. Where's Pinchas? L'hakdisho. Zeh l'fi sheinu shalom v'zeh l'fi sheinu b'rshusa. Okay. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. And the Gemara in Bava Kamma is trying to figure out whether we accept the din of Rabbi Yochanan or not, and what that has to do with a bunch of other Mishnayos and applications. Right? There are two main sugyas of Rabbi Yochanan. One is the main sugya, is a sugya here in Meruba, understandably, because that's where Gzela and Yiyush and all those things are. So that's this Gemara. And the other one, which is why I asked Noah, who's you know our resident Bava Metzia, you know person, what does it come up in Bava Metzia? You know,
I'm the Meruba guy.
Oh, you're the Meruba guy. Oh, okay. But as the Meruba guy, you have to know where it comes up in Bava Metzia because you have to see the application. Who's the Bava Metzia guy? Oh, I see. I mean, like the calling on thing.
Yeah,
I got it. Okay. So it took me a while, but I'm catching on. Tzvi. Where does it come from, Bava Metzia? Anybody know? You seem like you might be a Bava Metzia person. There you go. Excellent. See, I have good instincts. I did not know for a fact, but I could just tell, you know. Excellent. Hahu Mesusa, right? The famous, in the Sugya of Tokva Kohen, right? So the Gemara there, and of Zion, Amud Aleph, in the beginning of Bava Metzia, you know, quotes Rabbi Yochanan. Right, that's the other place, and it's a very crucial, excellent. So gezav lo nesiyasho abaylin, meaning what happened? Like somebody stole an object, somebody took it out of somebody else's rishus, and we say v'zeh v'zeh einam yicholim lahakdisha. That's Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. That if somebody takes an object kodem yiyush, right? Gezav v'lo nesiyasho abaylin. So you might think that since there's no Yeyush, so what does that mean there's no Yeyush? It means that the Goslin does not have, Noah?
Kenyan.
Doesn't have a Kenyan. So if he doesn't have a Kenyan, so you might have thought, Zeini Yochel Agdisho, meaning the Goslin can't be Makdish that Chepetz, because he's not a Bailim, he just took the object. He's a rogue, either way he's a rogue character, but the point is that his action is still illegal in all respects. It didn't turn into any kinyanim. So zayin yachal akdisha. But the chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan is that also that not only is zayin yachal akdisha, but even zeh is zayin yachal akdisha. Meaning, even the bailim, the nigzal, the nignav, he can't be makdish l'chefetz either, even though there was no yeyush, and therefore he's the bailim. Why? Zeh l'fi sheinu shelo, meaning the goslin. That's the famous Rabbi Yochanan, the din, that a davar she'eno birshuso is not nitan, right, lehekdesh. Correct? That's the background of the Gemara. So then the Gemara discusses in Bava Kamma, a very long Shaklavataria, very fascinating Shaklavataria, that this din of Rabbi Yochanan, how does it fit in with the din, the direct din that they're talking about there is, gonef achar haganav. Like if you steal something, not from the bailim, but from the ganav, like the ganav stole from the bailim, it's lifnei yeyush, and then you steal it from the ganav, Right? So gonev minaganav, is he chayev kefel or is he potter mishum kefel? Because after all, you know, maybe he didn't steal it really from the ganav, but is that also considered a theft from the nigna, the nigzal? After all, he's still the bailin. But it's ainu b'rshuso. So for chepetz is shalo, but ainu b'rshuso, is that trigger a chiyuv, gneva, kefel, whatever? Again, the details are very complicated and very important, but not for now. Okay, so that's an example of the Gemara. Then the Gemara has another discussion, a whole discussion there, about snuin and Rabbi Dosa, right? About, you know, if somebody takes... you know, comes into a field and he takes things that he shouldn't be taking, right? So, you know, can you kind of either be mafkir to him, you know, or give it to Maiser Sheni, all sorts of issues. And again, the question is, the person took it, so you don't have any control. If you don't have any control anymore, it's not physically Bershuska or legally Bershuska, even though you are the titular owner, right? Do you have the ability to be... is it considered gneva from your rishus? That's the gonev achar ganav. Can you be makdish zelafi shenel shalos zelafi shenel rishus? So we say, you know, ena yochal lahakdisho, right? Can you be makdish at the cave? Oh, like this object is gone, I might as well get a tax write off. You know, I'll theoretically give it to hakdish. I don't mean it that way. He means it sincerely. You know, maybe the guys the nignav, maybe the ganav or the gazon will give it to hakdish if they find out that it's. You know, or he says, listen, I don't want it back, but I at least want to give it to tzedakah. You know, so yachal agdisho, is it considered geneva? Can you be mafkir it? Can you be poda it? Right, like a thief comes into your garden, you know, he takes an object, and you're worried about him that he's going to not realize that there were no hafrashas trumasamaisras. So can you? You know, be poda. Let's say it's Maiser Sheni, or whatever. So, can you be poda to save him? But it's not Prashuska anymore. That's the whole discussion. That's basically what those two dapim and Bava Kama that where I'm saving you all of that is all about. That's the background, right? So, that's the background. So then the Gemara says in Bava Kama, go ahead, Moshe, you have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. So the Gemara originally thought that this is another example, right, of Rabbi Yochanan affects being makdish, Rabbi Yochanan affects whether you apply kefel in gonev min haganav, it affects hefker, it affects Hektesh, I'm sorry, it affects pidyon, and it also impacts on the ability to write what's an orchasa, and orchasa is a harsha. So the Gemara's first view in Bava Kama, right, and that's what the connection is to being makdish, not a case of being makdish directly, right? The question is, can you write a harsha on metaltalin or not? Now, what's the case of metaltalin? So what does Rashi say there? Urchasa harsha, go ahead. Mishum Rav Yochanan. Eni yochal aknosa l'shliach. Because it's not in your rishos. And therefore, if something happens to it, so maybe that's the reason that he doesn't want to give it to you. But the point is that it's not legally considered to be a gvia, right, since it is eno bershuso. So the Gemara originally thinks that harsha is equated, the ability to write a harsha to trigger, I'm sorry, as a basis for gvia, that capacity is the equivalent of the din of Rabbi Yochanan of the ability to be makdish, right, mafkir, poda, right, and considered to be bershuska le'inyan ganev. That's an amazing havamina. And therefore, the Gemara is trying to prove from Harsha whether we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan And they'd say, oh, Rabbi Yochanan is consistent with the inability, right, to write a harsha on Metalkalin. Okay, keep going. Ah, only if it's metaltale de kafre. Go ahead. This is the girsa that we have in the Gemara. We'll go. Go ahead. Tama de kafre. So Mexica Shikra is a issue. It's a side problem. It's an extraneous problem. That means that fundamentally, what could you do? Fundamentally, you could write a harsha, even in a case of a davar she'ena brishusa. So it sounds like there are 2 days in the Gemara. This is very critical. The pashtus in this girsa of the Gemara, there are 2 days in the Gemara, whether or not harsha is contingent upon the criterion of Rabbi Yochanan, right? Namely, it's treated like hekdesh, hefker, pidyon, right? Or we're much more liberal when it comes to writing a harsha. Even if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that gezavon siyosho b'ilam zeveze inyan chom inyan b'shuso is an ikuv, it's not an ikuv in the writing of a harsha for gvias kobos. That seems to be 2 days in the Gemara. Very relevant to us. We'll see in a moment. Then the Gemara continues. Go ahead. The Amri Nahardai. Okay, so now getting just referring, we'll discuss it more, but referring to Ellie's comment before, there are 2 ways to read this line in the Gemara, right? One is that there's something called the Harsha, right? And then, there's an additional aspect of the Harsha, and that is it should also include the clause of Zil Don Uzachi the Apek Lenafshech. The Pashto is not the way, the best way to read the Gemara. The better way to read the Gemara is that the Gemara is now analyzing, right, what is the core and essence of a Harsha, right? And the Gemara is saying that, you know, writing a Harsha without writing the guts or the core or the essence of the Harsha is a waste of time, place Beba Shasha. Not just it doesn't work, it's not a harsha. That's, we'll talk about it. A harsha is something which writes, at least in the Nusach, Zil Don Zachi the Apek Lenafshech. Now that is a strong language. It's a hakna type language. Okay. So a hakna type language, because harsha is hakna, or harsha is less than hakna, but it requires that kind of formulation for some reason. And if so, for extraneous reasons, to mollify or to neutralize an extraneous taina of the nitva, of the person who's giving up the chepetz, it solves the insurance problem, or the la baldvarm didiat as an extraneous problem, or more likely, right, this is again part of what makes harsha unique. Is this line in the Gemara something that applies according to both deists in the Gemara? Okay, so what we'll see in their survey, which we'll try to do as quickly as we can, is that there's a huge debate among the Rishonim how to read these lines in the Gemara and what their relationship is to each other. Yeah?
What would Lesbian Ashasha mean according to the way Ellie wants to
do it? I think I'm quoting Ellie correctly. Right. Meaning there's something called the Harsha, but, and maybe, you know, it has effect, you know, for other things, but as an additional tenai, let's say, to work, you know, to be, to mollify him when it comes to la baldorm didiat, right, you need this extra clause, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, even if it doesn't have any effect.
What?
Even if it doesn't have any effect,
you
can't
be conveyed.
There's
something
to be more
than it goes into. Right. Okay. We'll see. But I think that the pashtus is that the Gemara is saying this is the hagdara of a harsha. Okay. Right. My time,
I mean,
certainly
for the Rishon, that since you have to make a Kenyan default, it's fairly not reading his own stuff.
Right. So we'll discuss the different views when we go through. My time, go ahead.
My time.
Yeah. So again, this is something additional, or I think most likely this is the Hagdara, let's interpret it that way, default for the moment, of what Harsha is all about. Okay. Arabaya. Yeah. So that's all, it's a Chiddush, but again, is that line of Abaya, right? You don't, a situation, this is a different kind of Harsha? Right? What is this? Because if he's apart, Lerbiya, Leshlish, etc., right? How does that help him? Okay, so we'll talk about that. Amra Meymar. Wait. So again, I'm just trying to show that every line here, we're just going to do it again as quickly as we can, but each of these lines needs to be dissected. Right? What did Abaye say different from the line above? How different is it? A Meymar, the issue in a Meymar is particularly acute. What are the two issues, what are the two possibilities in a Meymar? Moshe? Yeah. Well, isn't that important?
Yeah.
Right. What are the two deos? Rashi quotes it. I mean, is the Gemara a Meymar? Itofes l'mafkina. I mean, we know that's always important. But maybe it depends who we're talking about, right? What is it? So what are the people? Yeah, you can read it. First of all, yeah, itapas, the first of the day is shliach mishal ne'eman. What does that mean? The mursha from the, or the shliach from the nitva. Okay, go ahead. So lo mafkina minei, which is another way of saying that the taina of lav al dvarim didiat, right, is more extraneous than we think. Correct? Either that, or the. Or put it this way, the chisaron of a shliach is less of a chisaron than we think, one or the other. Right? Because b'dieved, if you grab the tfisa works against the nitva. That's the first day of Rashi. Second day of Rashi is far more interesting. Go ahead. Meaning it's vis-a-vis who? The Marsha. Yeah. I mean, the Tovea makes a Mursha, and the question is, the Mursha collects the money, and then the Mursha wants to keep the money. Right? So can he keep the money or not? There's a contest between the Marsha and the Mursha. Obviously, the more you think, this is a question that would be completely incomprehensible, right, if we looked at the Mursha as a Shliach. What's that? Presumably, yeah. I mean, according to the second day.
Yeah. Quick clarification. According to the first day, when Rashi says, are we assuming the Shliach still said Zil Don Dizati, just not those last two words?
Let's say again, Afagav Deloksiv Be Apik Lenavshe, I mean, does he have to say the first words? I don't think so. I think he means that the whole clause.
You didn't have any.
I think he's just saying, Bidyebed. If a shliach does grab, then it works. But a bit pashtus. I hear the question, but I'm assuming that the zil don, the you know don apik lenafshech is the key word. So without that, what remains is not really significant. Yeah.
Why would that Dan read the Gemara that way? That a Meimar's itavasam of kiyamine is not working within the amrinah hardai or kusadolikusib zildom istidi.
Say that again?
Why is it that...
You mean second day in Rashi?
The first day. Why is the first day understanding that a Meymar's question isn't working within the second statement of Neradai that...
Because it's clear that the second day, once if you write Zil Don Apik Lenafsheikh, that and the purpose of that is to neutralize Lav Al-Dvarim Didiyat, then clearly you're in the driver's seat and you can do that. Right? The Chiddush, only Chiddush would be of a Meymar... is that even absent, we just said you need this clause in order to solve this problem, but you should know that b'di'evet, if you were tafas, that would also solve the problem. Right? Otherwise, we know that. We know that it works legally. If it works legally, then it works. Right? Okay, let's continue this for one more minute. Go ahead. Ravashi. Kim and the Kosvis called him a Sani Mendina. Right. That's another clause in the Harsha. Go ahead. Shliach Shavio. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. And then this is not all Girsos have this. The Hilchos Shliach Shavio. We're going to go through each one very quickly. But of course, this is a very. The Hilchos Shliach Shavio. Once the Gemara says the Hilchos Shliach Shavio, according to this Girsa, does the Gemara turn its back on some of the things it just said? Okay? So this is a debate. Just to sum up what we've done so far. Right, we started off by pointing out that a case in which Harsha doesn't work, well, let me say it this way. We started off by pointing out that if you look at the Mishnayos and the Gemara, right, so there's a requirement of Harsha to accomplish Mipia Tobeya. That certainly excludes the Nitva. It certainly excludes Shalach Biad Abdo. It sounds like it excludes a regular shliach as well. Mipia Toveya, Lo Yagid, requires something more than a typical shliach. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. We'll get to the Balamor soon enough. Right, from there, we also noted that according to Rashi, Alatar, even when you have a harsha, right, there are limits on the impact of the harsha for mipia toveya purposes, right? Namely, davar de lomata de yade, he's not considered mipia toveya even with a harsha. Or another way to say it is, harsha doesn't work the davar de lomata de yade. That is, we know where Rashi got it from. We understand the process, in other words, that produced that conclusion. But the Rajba says it's mechudash. The Meiri thinks it's a fantasy. And it's an interesting question, right, to think about. It's also interesting to note on the local sugya that Rashi, in translating Harsha, right, says, second, the babar shoshim mino apotropos al kach, kukach itvias mamon hi ava mechayvi. And what is urchasa? Harsha, lashon shultanut. So two things. Rashi here says, number one, you require matali adeh to be effective. Number two, he interprets that a mursha is an apotropos. An apotropos is not a shliach, right? It's something more than a shliach. Again, exactly what it is not our topic right now. But if you want to know a little bit about the relationship between a shliach and an apotropos, right? I'm not sure how much the Bava Metzia and Bava Kama people will help you, but who will help you? What? Oh, the Gittin people. Excellent. So that does that.
I don't volunteer.
No. And who and what else? Kiddushin. The Kiddushin people, right? Where in Kiddushin? Excellent. Because the Gemara has a very interesting transition. When the Gemara wants to know about the basis of shlicho, it's like ish mekadesh bo b'shlucho, or isha miskadesh bo b'shlucha. So right in the beginning of the parak, right, they talk about, you know, how do you know this? And then they talk about the makar of shlichos, apotropos, and zechia. Right? And you have to, again, work it out with the Rishonim. It's not our topic right now. Right? You know, what is it? We know that there's a massive debate about the relationship between zechia and shlichos, right? Zechia mitam shlichos, alo mitam shlichos, and what that means, all the shades of that. That's partly that shakavataria. Because the Gemara is trying to use the same pasuk, or trying to find out what pasuk applies for shlichos, for zechia, and also for apotropos. So it sounds like apotropos is different, but there's overlap. Here Rashi calls it shultanut and apotropos. Okay. Then we're just noting that, you know, this requirement of the mipia toveya is also possibly a din in Chovas HaGadah, right, according to many, and we're not sure whether the Mipiat Tovea of Chobetz Haggadah has exactly the same requirements as Korban Shavuos Eidos, discussion of Mechitzinot. We're also noting that we've already had a discussion about the need for a Mursha more than a Shliach when it comes to representing you in court, right? Velo Mipiat Torgamon. We've also noted that Mipiat Tovea, you know, that there might be a question to ask, and that is whether or not it is an essential requirement of Korban Shavuos Eidos, the absence of which would not even be Shem Shavuos Eidos, which is what the Ramban in Milchamos thinks. Ramban contrasts the Eid Kosher, right, or Eid Pasul in Kosher, with lack of Mipiat Tovea. Seems to think that Mipiat Tovea and Chutz LeBezdin, right, are different than Kashrus Ha'edus, that Kashrus, that's something to think about, and that one could argue on that point. And then we've moved over to Bava Kamma, where we noted that the main extensive treatment of Harsha is one which comes in the backdrop of Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, zelav yishen shtol, zelav yishen v'rishuso, but of achaganav, mapkir, poda, makdish, and so on. The Gemara originally, clearly, seems to be associating the ability to write a harsha with the capacity, at minimum, to be makdish, and to be mafkir, all these other cases. Whether it's also to be makne, more generally, the answer is bepashtus, makne, I'm sorry, makdish, mafkir, poda, and makne are all interchangeable. That is the view, I mean, I'm not, you know, telling secrets, because hopefully you've already seen the Rashba. That is the view of 90% of the Rishonim. And therefore, the Gemara's original assumption is that we're treating Harsha, or holding Harsha to the standards of Akna. The Rashba is Mechadesh, both here in Shavuos and in Bava Kamma, that maybe may not be true. That maybe there's a difference between the standard of Makdish, and by extension, Gonav Hachaganav, Mafkir, Podeh, on the one hand, and Hakna'a on the other. But either way, the Gemara introduces Harshan Bava Kamma in the context of Rabbi Yochanan, not because it's a case of being Makdish, but because the assumption is that Ein Kosfin Harsha Al Metaltalin, right, is a din that is the equivalent of Rabbi Yochanan. Then the Gemara has a second Deya, which is that the problem is Mexica Shikra, but that otherwise there would be a Harsha. And then the Gemara goes on, and a series of very interesting but somewhat ambiguous comments, right, to address the impact of Harsha on La Baldram Didiyat, which, as we noted, seems to be next to me, Pia Tobea, the two prominent applications, right? Zil don ba'apik onavshech, leis ba'mashasha. And then the Gemara seems to be discussing, you know, the problem of, you know, lemachza l'shalish. That's one, that's a baya. Then you have a Meimar's tafas mafkinan, tafas lo mafkinan, which Rashi is Tudeus who it refers to. The need for a harsha per se, or the relationship between the marsha and the mursha, which again raises the stakes considerably in terms of being more than shlichos. Then the Gemara's conclusion is that shliach shavya, or shutfa shavya, but shliach shavya, and that's kind of where the Gemara leaves off. But what the relationship is between those three, let's say, qualifications in the Gemara and typical harsha is unclear. So you're left to wonder whether or not the Gemara itself isn't debating the nature of harsha, or roughly speaking, whether harsha is associated with akna, like it sounds like in the beginning of the Gemara, or with a form at least of shlichos, which is what it sounds like in the end of the Gemara. Behilchosah, if you have the girsa, behilchosah, shliach, shav. Yeah.
In terms of the ambiguity in the Gemara, is it clear who Amimar is responding to?
It's nothing is clear. That's why there are ambiguities. I mean, it's very unclear. We're going to discuss, I hope quickly, you know, what some of the Rishonim say about these lines in the Gemara. What do you want to say about it? Go ahead.
Meaning, could it be that the 2 days in Rashi are based on whether he's responding to the Baya or responding to Narada?
I mean, it doesn't sound the way in Rashi.
So who's it? Who the pastor's gemara? Who is that mean my respond?
I mean, again, according to the first day of Rashi, it sounds like what a Maimar is saying is that, or maybe this is what you meant. Maybe I was too quick to say. It sounds to me like the first day of Rashi is saying that the whole requirement of an institution of Harsha, right, is only in the absence of Tfisa. But a Shliach, who is Toface, Ein Mafkina Miyada. Because a labal dvarim di diat, let's say, is a concern, right? But and it's enough of a concern that, you know, in terms of proper lechatchila protocol, that we will listen to that taina, let's say, right? But it doesn't really disqualify, you know, in a more fundamental way, a shliach from being the gova, the chov, or the mishaleach. That sounds like the first day of Rashi. The second day seems to be, no, it's within, more. It's not when you don't need a morsha, or when a shliach can work without a morsha, it's when you have a morsha, right, is his, and in order to be a morsha, let's assume for the moment the first day of Rashi then is wrong, meaning, and you need a morsha, and if you didn't have a morsha, you know, even if tafas it wouldn't work, because this other person is not a legitimate collector, even though he's a shliach. Shlichus really is inadequate. It's not just that there's a taina, right? So, given that harsha really elevates, and I think there's a connection, in other words, given that harsha elevates you to a significant degree, right, that makes possible the gvia, so then the question, you know, becomes, you know, this monster that you created, I don't mean literally, meaning this higher stature that you created, which solves this problem, which apparently is more substantive and significant, you know, does it have impact even on the creator, even on the Marsha? Because if you really think he's not just a shliach, you know, who's solving, you know, the La Baldram Didiat problem, right? Whatever that is. But you think that he's a different category, and that's the only reason why he can do the Gviyah, because La Baldram Didi is a very core problem, then maybe his powers are not limited to the Nitva. Maybe they reflect a status that has impact in his relationship to the Marsha. Is that what you want to say? Or?
Right, so what I'm saying is maybe in that second day,
right,
Mimar is responding to Abaye and saying even...
One second, Abaye... Abaye's one who said the Shlisha Rabiya and the whatever.
Yeah, so if the Morsha is so strong, so then maybe he could be Tobias the entire thing.
Because I thought all Abaye was saying was, I have another way. I mean, we'll get to it. The Pashtus is that Abaye is saying, even if you don't have a Morsha, if you're Kasav Lamachta Lashalisha Lurviya, Migdu Mishtoi Dina Palga Mishtoi Dina Kul. You don't say, oh, you only have a, you know, 30% stake, so you can only be Gova 30% of the Chov. No. If you're a junior partner, right, either you, I thought Abaye was saying, Pashtus Abaye, okay, we'll see what each one says, that, you know, a Morsha is somebody who has 100% Morsha status,
even if he's collecting,
whatever that is, right? And another way to go about this is to give somebody like a 30%, you know, junior partnership, because that doesn't just make him... It doesn't just give him the capacity to collect 30%, it gives him the capacity as a junior partner, you know, not to be turned away for 100%. We'll see, but that's a pashtus of Abaye.
Then he has to give to the original Tovea the rest.
Yeah.
So I'm saying Abaye might be saying, and then
that's Abaye. Now a Maimar.
I mean, a Maimar might be saying, he tapas that rest.
Oh, I see. I mean, I don't think according to Rashi. And not quite the simple reading. I mean, is it possible to read
possible
that?
That's the second day of Rashi.
That's what you thought the second day of Rashi was?
I think it's possible that she's being...
Kibin, one second. E tafas shliach mamon shehotzi v'ikva le'atzma lo mafkina minei. I don't think so. I mean, I guess we could try to look at the Tshuva Sagon. The Pashtus, that's not the way that it was taken, for sure. The way it's taken is that the Marsha's relationship to the Morsha, right, is also affected by the Morsha's... If you upgrade a Mursha so that he can collect from a Nitva, then that has also impact on his relationship to the Marsha. That's a simple shot.
Why is it called Tisa? He already made a deal with
No, Tafas meaning if he doesn't want to give it back to him.
Why is it Tisa?
I mean, if he refuses to...
It's not physical Tisa.
I mean, because he... Yeah, no, no. I mean, Tafas meaning he won't. He holds on to it in this case. That's fine.
They stipulate that.
What?
Didn't they stipulate that?
Stipulate what?
That he would be keeping some of it?
No. Not in the regular... Because you're looking at Abaya through... A Maimar through Abaya. Forget about Abaya. The Pashtus is that a Maimar goes back to Zildon V'Apik L'Nafshe. So Zildon V'Apik L'Nafshe solves the problem for the Nitzva, meaning Labal Drum Didiyat. No. I'm collecting for myself. Now the question is, if you're collecting for yourself, but Pashtus is you're collecting for yourself, and then you're going to give it to your boss or to the person who gave you that set. Let's say you don't want to give it to him. And you say, listen, the only way I collected from him because you gave me, you know, this stature. This stature is now your Waterloo. Right? Okay. So, yeah. Oh, that's it. So that, but yeah.
So we're saying that according to the first day in Rashi, that Amenar is basically saying he is a Morsha.
Or he's not a Morsha, I think a Shlia. I mean, what, in Tafas Maskin, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Tafas Maskin? I thought he's saying that a shliach, who's not a morsha, the other guy doesn't have to give it to him, I mean, but if he grabs it, it'll work.
I mean, he's not disagreeing with anything more previously. He's just making a separate point that,
right.
That shliach
correct.
Can be
tokens. Correct. And the second day is also not disagreeing with anything that was said previously.
Okay, how do we reject anything that first day?
What do you mean?
Anything more ends up saying, no, it's not true, it can't be tokens. But why not? Why can't shliach be tokens?
Where does it say that? A Maimar said, one second, how's it go? Amar Maimar, Yitafas al Mafkinan.
Right, and then Rashi says, Kevin Mafkinan, they called him Zayim, and Bina, Kavas, Lashliya.
Right, we don't know.
And then Rashi said,
right, it's hard to know how that affects the rest of it. I'm saying that's part of the ambiguity here. Right? Is Ravashi saying, oh, no, no, I have a whole different view that this is Shlichus? He might be saying something about Harsha generally. It's hard to know that he's being Chozer on that part of a Maimar. How do we know?
He's introducing a new clause into the Shah Harsha.
Okay. Right. It's just a new...
If
he's saying, no, I think he's more...
If you add this line, then you solve the problem.
Right, or he's more Shliach-oriented. I don't think it's a Chazar or attack on him. Again, there happens to be a wide range of interpretations about the... as I say, you could totally understand it, because if you read the Gemara, you just... There's like everything, you know, there's this comment, and that comment, and the next comment. It's a lot, very non-sequitur kind of a, you know, so is it, who's talking to who, and who's retracting what? Very unclear. Okay, one thing that emerged, we have to stop, but we mostly just presented the problem. I want to go through the Gemara, let's go through the Rashi, Tosis, Balamor, Ramban, Rajba, Rambam. We'll go through the actual Shitos to see what they all say about Harsha on Sunday. Just again, just to mention, I'm going to be here for Shabbos. Anybody would like to stay, we'd love to see everybody. And we also have a Shir Shabbaton tentative date planned, right? What was that? April?
20.
April what?
21st.
And next week in Silver Spring. Oh, is anybody going to be in Silver Spring?
We're
going to
have a
festival
this year.
Oh, great. Okay, terrific. So, and the week after that, Boca Raton. Anybody can do that? That'll be, you know, really nice. Okay. I'll give you my schedule. we did Riverdale, right? So I think that's our Rabbi Willie Gladys in the show. No. The thing to come away with is that, in addition to all the ambiguity, we have some clear applications and some unclear applications of when you need Harsha. And what we really have is impressions, very opposite impressions, about what Harsha is, linguistically and substantively. Right? Again, if the Gemara's conclusion is Shliach Shavya, so then you just wonder, you know, what the whole fuss is all about. And is it Shliach Shavya because once you have the clause, it solves the details of the problem, or is it, you know, what do we mean? Is this a form of, are there levels of shlichus? Or is this a kind of hakno? Again, the idea that zil zon v'apik nafsheh, the second day, you know, in Rashi for a meimar, that it'll work even against the marsha, is a very extreme view of hakno. As is, of course, the whole context of the Gemara Bava Kama being connected to Rabbi Yochanan, zelapi sheni shalo, zelapi sheni preshuso. So, in the end of the day, we have, we're trying to navigate between, right, these two extremes. So what we want to see is it one or two of the extremes? Basically, we'll call it the Balamor, you know, and the Rajpa. But most Rishonim are not satisfied with those extremes. Again, if it is those extremes, it says a lot in either direction about Lao Baldorim Didi, about Bipia Toveya, you know, and so on. But if you don't go for the either extreme, so navigating the whole evidence, which seems to include some shlichos elements and some hakna elements, is very challenging. So it's a more moderate, because there are different levels of hakna. That's interesting. Talked about that a little bit last year in Kiddushin. I mentioned that the Ramban in Harsha, right, talks a lot about Kni Amanas Lahaknos, and talking about Matanamas Amanas Lahaksir, right? Or that there are different levels of Shlichus itself, which is something we know to be true from, again, other Masakhtas, Kiddushin and Gittin, and Bab Metzia, and Zechiah, and Apotropos, and things like that. And also we mentioned it, again, when we talked about the Antler issue. So that's what we want to try to figure out. We want to figure out, you know, hakna, shlichos, a form of shlichos, a form of hakna, and the details of that. But, you know, it's a massive topic. We are really just going to do, I hope, a quicker job. So we'll talk about it. I mean, the Rambam's psak and Rabbi Yochanan in general, which I don't want to speak about so much, but since you asked me, is a little bit controversial about tznuin in particular. And the Rambam's psak and mitzvah smaiser sheni. The Rambam wrote a famous, there's a famous discussion between the Chachmei Loniel. There's a letter and a tshuva, the Rajba, and all sorts of, you know, what the Rambam really holds about Rabbi Yochanan and tznuin and so on. That has a little bit of relevance here, but that's a topic, that's more about the Kabbalah.